honoring our community's veterans. Good Monday morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. And just ahead, on this Veterans Day, we'll look at new ways the First Coast is working to reach out to those who've served. Are you a veteran? Maybe you have a loved one who is? We want your calls. It's 549-2937. Go ahead and call us up right now. Then later in the hour, Culpepper on the new Nick Foles era, part two for the Jaguars. But first this morning, on this Veterans Day 2019, we want to take some time this morning to mark the important day of remembrance, to honor all those in this nation who have served and sacrificed in our armed forces. Now, the annual Veterans Day parade is kicking off in downtown Jacksonville in just a couple of hours. At the same time, there are two important new initiatives getting underway here in this area to provide support to our large local veteran community. They're focused on helping vets with everything from job searches to housing support to preventing veteran suicides, which is an epidemic in this country. We're beginning the hour with a closer look as we welcome two local veterans. Veteran legal advocate Christopher Dempsey, he is founder and CEO of Mission Phoenix. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And veteran and attorney Dan Bean. He's also a member of our WJCT Board of Directors.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. And it's Veterans Day. We want you to share your stories of service. And if you're a veteran who's struggling, we want to hear from you too, because there is help and support out there. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, and our Facebook page is open as well. Chris Dempsey, let's start with you. There are a couple of organizations we're going to talk about. They're called Mission United and Firewatch. Let's begin with Firewatch. That's a new organization serving this five-county area to combat veteran suicide. Tell me about Firewatch.
The Firewatch is a novel enterprise to prevent the veteran suicide epidemic that's facing our nation. Nothing thus far has worked. An average of 22 vets a day die by suicide. Put another way, that's 1 in 5 deaths by suicide as a vet. And it's just, the numbers are outstanding. Since it's football season, let's use a football analogy. There's 53 NFL players per team, 32 teams in the U.S. That's a total of 1,696 NFL players nationwide. In 2 days, 9 hours, we lose 53 vets to suicide, the equivalent of an entire NFL football team. And in 2 months, 2 weeks, 3 days, and 2 hours, we lose 1,696 vets to suicide, the equivalent of the total number of players in the NFL. So again, the numbers are staggering. And what the status quo, what has been done thus far, is not working. And that's where the Firewatch comes in, where they're going to plug veterans in with a community of support, mentors, one-on-one, build relationships with individuals who know and could support the vet, who are going to know their risks, their signs, and be able to intervene at the first sign of crisis.
That support network is so critical. Now, we have more than 100,000 veterans right here in Northeast Florida, including yourself, and you at one time battled suicidal thoughts. Is that right?
That's correct. I deployed to Afghanistan and supported Operation Enduring Freedom. And as a result of my combat experiences there, I am not only 100% totally and permanently disabled and service connected for PTSD, but I'm also Category 1 National Patient Record Flag, high risk for suicide. That happens to be the highest risk the VA assigns a vet for suicide risk.
And what caused your PTSD and your struggles with thinking about suicide?
Well, the PTSD was caused by some significant combat trauma that I brought back with me from Afghanistan. And I didn't know much about PTSD. Mental illness is far too stigmatized in our society. So I kind of kept it to myself and struggled along for a couple of years until it caught up with me and thus began a downward spiral. And multiple crisis upon crisis pattern where I just got into a really dark place and I could see no way out. I had nobody to help me. I couldn't do it alone and nothing was working.
You luckily got some help and support, which we're so glad to hear about, and turned things around.
I did. I landed in Jacksonville, which is an amazing community. They really love and support veterans here. Probably the most supportive Tibet community in the United States of America. So I'm glad I landed here. I ended up finding support through Five Star Veterans Center, which is a homeless shelter in town for vets, primarily those facing mental illness or PTSD issues. And from there, I found a mentor, a friend, which is Dan Bean sitting across from me, and a lot of support in the community through various veteran services organizations. There are a number in town here. I think 46 attended the Mission United Summit earlier this year as we looked at an opportunity to consolidate and centralize and stovepipe the help that various veteran service organizations provide to vets in our community.
Give us a call on this Veterans Day. It's 549-2937. Let's talk to Dan Bean now. He's been a mentor and friend to a whole lot of people, as I happen to know. Dan, you're a Navy veteran. You're an attorney. You are involved in so many activities around Jacksonville, including helping strengthen support networks for veterans. Now, a minute ago, Chris mentioned Mission United. What is Mission United?
So Mission United is going to be an arm of the United Way. It'll be an umbrella for all the veteran service organizations. The Mission United has been implemented in other cities very successfully throughout the country. And the design is to sort of cooperate and convene veteran service organizations under this one, under these case managers. And the case managers will work with the veteran. A veteran typically will have more than one issue to address, and the case manager will help point the veteran to the proper service organization and hold the veteran accountable as well, arrange for transportation, and then follow up. It's been very effective in Broward County and other counties in the state of Florida, and now is being implemented throughout the United States. So we're grateful that United Way has provided the funding for this type of overarching support system. Christopher is an amazing human being and has that support network with his friend here, also Jessica Rosario, myself, and others that have stepped forward to sort of help coordinate it. And the Firewatch and Mission United are all, these different type of programs are designed to provide the one-on-one support that a struggling veteran may need from time to time. And that's the design. Mission United will be fully implemented by the spring of 2020. Until then, you still can get the assistance that Christopher and I and Jessica and I have utilized already through the 211 or the Veteran VA Service Hotline. Those services are available, but we're hoping to bring it a lot closer and also build a network of veterans that will assist other veterans in need. That's the Fire Watch, and that's the concept that Councilman Rory Diamond and the other five counties have participated in, and we hope to build. The VA was very clear that they'll give us the data of how many suicides there are, but they are counting on local initiatives such as what Councilman Diamond and the other counties have implemented here to really get down on the street level and really provide the assistance that some of the veterans really need.
And we'll go to your calls in a moment. Are you a veteran? Have you struggled with PTSD or even suicidal thoughts? Have you struggled to find a job after leaving service? Maybe you're a family member of a veteran. The whole family serves, not just the person wearing the uniform. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Now, you brought up the VA. Let's talk about the VA for a minute. First, I want to note that Congressman Al Lawson, who represents part of this community, sent us a news release the other day. He has filed a bill to locate a VA hospital here in Jacksonville. We have one of the largest veterans communities in America, but veterans have to drive, I think, all the way to Lake City to go to a VA hospital. So let me begin with that. And then I have some more questions for you guys about the VA. How does that impact veteran care? The fact that there isn't a VA hospital here in Jacksonville when we're such a military prominently known military community.
I'll take that first. It doesn't make sense, and I applaud Congressman Lawson for doing that. We're one in every three, one in every four, depending who you want to speak to, military citizens here. And so having the proximity of a hospital here makes sense in so many different ways. And so I applaud his effort and his staff's effort to do that.
Chris Dempsey, what do you think?
I think that's an amazing development. When I first relocated to Jacksonville, I was driving to Gainesville once a week, and I would put all my appointments on one day so that I could maximize and make it worth the drive. But not every vet that's struggling is going to be able to make that drive once a week for care. And on top of that, the system here in Jacksonville is incredibly overburdened. When I switched from the Gainesville VA Medical Center community to receive mental health treatment here at South Point in Jacksonville, I was told the first available appointment would be 3 months out. Now, that's for a veteran that's 100% totally and permanently disabled and the highest risk for suicide. Not being able to see a provider for 3 months is inexcusable.
And that speaks to a larger issue, doesn't it, Dan? The VA is simply not able to deal with this flood of need that veterans are dealing with. Whenever we talk to local veterans like Chris on this program, we tend to hear a similar narrative that the VA hasn't always been there for them. What, I know you want to be careful in your comments about the VA, but what are your, I mean, give me your frank thoughts about this. How big a problem is this?
It's a big problem. And it's when you have a big bureaucracy trying to meet the needs of the individual, it's very difficult to marry them. And sometimes the individual is not equipped to fight for what he or she needs. I've seen it on some of the veterans that I also help and mentor. I've been to appointments with a female veteran there, and just helping to communicate what the veteran needs. And the VA, we need to have more of these mentor type programs, a pool of veterans that are, like I like to say, full up round and can help advocate for the veteran and help the veteran in distress through this process. Anytime you have a big bureaucracy and one individual, it's going to be very difficult to find something congruent. And that's where these types of programs, non-governmental programs, are so helpful.
Yeah, it certainly makes a huge difference for so many people in this community. Now, Chris, you mentioned the stigma of dealing with mental health issues. PTSD was problematic for you. That's certainly true for so many other veterans, particularly men. I want to get your thoughts about that, because in the military, of course, and I speak as someone who's the daughter of a retired military guy and grandfather, there's this whole code of, you know, kind of being macho and not admitting to any vulnerability. So that can make it tough for veterans when they leave and they're dealing with some of these problems. How did you deal with that?
Well, I agree with you. The stigma is definitely a roadblock to getting help when you need it. And oftentimes, just like in my case, the help comes a little bit too late. You know, by the time I finally got some help, sought help, I'd already lost my career at the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., lost my family, was homeless. It took me a while to come around to the idea that I wasn't able to do it on my own, that I needed help. And that is primarily because in our society, mental illness is far too stigmatized. And a lot of individuals are afraid to come forward for the likely impact it may have on their career, their reputation. And that attitude has to be changed culturally. And I want to speak one more thing about the VA. The VA is a federal agency, and all the providers I've seen are well-meaning. They care about vets, but they cannot do their job alone, which is why it's absolutely vital that we take care of vets at a community level. And that's what Jacksonville's doing. There are so many veteran service organizations out there, and now they'll have some leadership through the Mission United initiative to loop all those through one sort of clearinghouse, so the vet has a one-stop shop to get the help they need, whether it be housing assistance, legal assistance, mental health care, et cetera.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about new efforts to help veterans here in Northeast Florida on this Veterans Day. Here's one easy thing you can pass on to the veteran in your life. He or she can get a free meal today. A lot of restaurants around town are offering free food today to veterans. Here are just a few: BJ's Restaurant and Brew House, Chili's, IHOP, Metro Diner, and many more are offering free menu items today. So if you go out to eat, just ask. Now, Dan Bean, you know, it's really so upsetting when you hear someone like Chris, who served this country like so many other veterans, and then when they come home stateside, they don't always get the support they need, and they struggle to find a job. They struggle to find a place to live. As a nation, we're just not doing right by our veterans. And it's a problem that's really escalated over the last couple of decades because the nature of combat has changed as well. It's causing more psychological and physical damage to people that go into combat.
No question. You know, Christopher is a licensed lawyer. He's an incredible advocate. He was the most articulate homeless person I've ever met. If he has difficulty accessing services through the VA, can you imagine someone who doesn't even have a high school degree? And so it's that level of veteran that we really need to pay attention to. And those veterans that cannot navigate a very complex system, the systems need to be broken down. They need to be simpler to access, more efficient. And that's really what our government systems have to continue to strive to get to. Until they do, and I'm not confident that they can, these civilian programs such as Mission United and the Firewatch and all the different VSOs here, they shouldn't even have to exist. The government's supposed to help step in and do this.
Right.
But here we are, and that's why these VSOs are so successful in providing the hand-to-hand help that a lot of these veterans need.
It's 549-2937 to join us. Here's a comment on our Facebook page from Marcellus. You're talking about helping vets, but everyone refuses to acknowledge where we need help the most. Jobs, transportation, housing. We don't want to be treated differently. People think we all have a retirement check and have an office job. They don't look at us on an individual basis. Chris Dempsey, the three big things, jobs, transportation, housing, right? Those are the big hurdles for so many.
I agree. This, without those basic needs being met, one is not able to get well, stay well, and to fully actualize which is their right. You know, if you don't have a place to live and store your possessions securely, if you don't have food, if you don't have a meaningful job to pay the bills, then it's very easy to get to a place of darkness and desolation that I found myself in spring 2018.
Tell me more about that, how you lost your job and then you lost housing. Tell me more about that.
I was literally living in the woods next to my church in rural Florida, in Keystone, Florida. I had 35 cents in my pocket. I had a half a tank of gas, and I just was ready to give up. I was laying in the woods, praying literally that God would just take me. I was done. I had nowhere else to turn. I was at a dead end. I didn't see how it was ever going to get any better. And I felt like it might just have been time to pull the plug because there was so much pain there. But all it took was one by one folks reaching out that care about vets to give me hope and to help point me in the right direction. And it's just amazing, just the lightest touch. There was a gentleman in my church who gave me a job for a couple days, paid me cash so that I could go get something to eat. The pastor of my church gave me a place to stay just for a couple days. And then I could put some more gas in my tank. And then the family readiness group at Camp Blanding got involved, and they got me to the VA. And from the VA, I found Operation Barnabas, which is a rural charity led by Trey Fagan, who put me in touch with Five Star. So it's amazing how it sounds like I ping-ponged around a lot to get where I am today. But it really was all the people in our local communities that care about vets reaching out one by one to help me get to where I needed to be.
It takes a network like that. Dan Bean, how can people like Chris access the network you've built here in Jacksonville with Mission United? And as we said, this is a five-county effort. It's headquartered in Jacksonville, but people from St. John's, Nassau, Clay, all over the area, they can access it too.
Yep, and Baker County as well.
And Baker.
211, and that is active now, 211. And so you can get assistance for our listener just called. And, you know, if he or she knows of veterans in need for housing or legal help, the Jacksonville Area Legal Aid, Three Rivers, they've done a tremendous effort to provide legal assistance. Transportation is also something that it can be arranged, and we understand that getting the service member to his or her appointment is critical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, public transportation is nice, but having someone picked up and delivered is much more efficient, and we're able to make sure that the appointment is kept. So 211 is up and operational for United Way right now. And they can also help direct you to the type of services that will be available. Once we get our case managers in place, again, it'll just be an evolving process to be more and more efficient, But you know, Chris's story about ping ponging around, that's why United Way is so critical, so that we can stop that and Mission United in mm-hmm. United Way synonymous. And that's why it's so necessary to stop that type of, because again, Christopher is such a great advocate. He's so determined. He's done 100-mile races and things like that. This guy doesn't quit, but he's not the normal veteran by far.
So again, if you're a veteran who's struggling, just call 211 mm-hmm. and access the help of Mission United. This is a new wraparound service for local veterans coordinated through the United Way. Jacksonville's also serving as the legal home of a new organization called the Firewatch to help prevent veteran suicide. Chris, if people call 211, will they and they're suicidal, will they be connected immediately with Firewatch as well?
Well, I don't know if there's a synergy yet that exists between the Firewatch and Mission United. I'll let Dan answer that, but it would make good sense to me.
Yeah, right now you'll go to the VA hotline, which, you know, Christopher and I have some experience with, and I've had experience with other veterans as well, and it was responsive. The problem with the hotline for the VA crisis hotline, which you can access through thefirewatch.org, which is the website, thefirewatch.org. The VA hotline, though, is not local. And so what we hope to have through 211, you can certainly dial 211 if you have suicidal ideations and need help right now. You'll get the help you can need. And it's designed to bring the help a lot closer. And having someone be able to get to you, the veteran, as soon as humanly possible. The VA, the national hotline, can't do that. And so it's not a perfect system, but it's better than nothing. And again, what we're trying to do is evolve it into a much better and more efficient, more responsive system.
Okay. So with all of that said, Chris, tell us a little bit more about what you do with Five Star Veterans Center and Mission Phoenix, which is what you're working on today.
Thank you. So there are many helping hands to get me to a place of health and wellness that I sit today. And that's not to say that I don't still struggle. This isn't something that goes away. I'm permanently and totally disabled. So it's not like I'm cured by any means, but having the support that I have now, folks that care about me, individuals like Dan Bean, Jessica Rosario, a mentor, a peer that I have at Wounded Warriors that came to my house on a day within 5 minutes when I was having an issue, which is the model of the Firewatch. It's just... It means so much to me to mm-hmm. be able to sit where I am today. It took a lot of people to hold me up.
And so with Chris's program at Five Star, he is better than anyone able to help these veterans, and he has the credibility to help these veterans. And it's folks like Chris that have come through this process, and as Chris said, he is fully and permanently disabled. However, he's extremely functional and extremely mm-hmm. helpful. He's given himself, I think he's dedicated his life to helping others that find themselves in a situation that Christopher found himself. A tremendous mission that Christopher has undertaken. And there he is at Five Star, paying it forward.
Yeah, and back on that, to kind of loop back to what I was getting at, I sat back and I thought about how many people helped me, and I felt this deep desire to pay it forward, to give back. And being a lawyer by training, I thought, well, how best to help veterans in need than to provide legal assistance? And I saw, well, there's housing services, there's education services for vets, you name it, but the one underutilized or under-resourced area was legal assistance. So I started small. I opened an office at Five Star Veterans Center, thanks to the generosity of that organization, and just started helping the vets at Five Star. And as soon as word caught, people started calling left and right. I realized there's a bigger need here than just the veterans that are the homeless veterans at Five Star Veterans Center. And thanks to the generous gift, a donation by the Players Championship this year, I was able to fund the startup costs, the front end costs of creating a charity. And that's it, Mission Phoenix.
Mission Phoenix. And so we will have more of these links on our website later today if you missed any of this stuff, which is really important for the local veteran community to reach out. But one thing anyone can do right now, if you're a veteran who needs help, just call 211 and ask to connect with Mission United, a new support system in our five-county area for veterans, and the Firewatch as well. also up and running to help combat veteran suicide. So thank you both guys so much. Dan Bean and Christopher Dempsey both joining us on this Veterans Day 2019 to spread the word. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we want to quickly mention the City of Jacksonville Veterans Day Parade is getting ready to make its way through downtown as it does every year. It's going to kick off around 11 a.m. downtown along East Bay Street near the intersection of A. Philip Randolph Boulevard. It will go down Bay to Noonan onto Independence Street and end up at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. So get on out and enjoy the parade and be aware of traffic closures. Also, here at WJCT, we have an ongoing salute to veterans both in our building and on our airwaves this week. Tonight, tune in at 10 for the program Warrior Tradition. Also, later on, 11 o'clock tonight, it's the military family documentary While Time Stands Still. And then tomorrow evening on WJCT, Independent Lens salutes veterans with its program, The Interpreters. Just go to WJCT.org for a complete schedule. A quick break, but more Veterans Day talk in a minute. Up next,
it's that inner voyage. It's how you lead yourself.
A conversation with retired General James Stavridis on the importance of character in the military and everywhere. More to come. We'll be right back.
Take a drive with us into the Blues Horizon. The best in classic and modern blues. Every Monday and Wednesday night at 11. Right here on 89.9 WJCT.
November 11th of each year is the day that we ensure veterans know that we deeply appreciate the sacrifices they have made in their lives to keep our country free. Help WJCT honor our veterans during the month of November by submitting a name that we may add to our on-air thank you announcements. Go to wjct.org/veterans.
That sound means you're in the Electro Lounge, where fresh, down-tempo, chill-out, and new jazz music plays Monday through Saturday nights at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM WJCT.
WJCT and Vistar Credit Union are honoring the legacy of Fred Rogers with the 17th annual Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. The drive runs through November 30th and accepts new and gently used sweaters, jackets, and blankets. Contributions may be dropped off at WJCT, all Vistar Credit Union branches, Sudeth Moving and Logistics, and the Tom Bush family of dealerships. For more information, visit wjct.org/events. Contributions will be donated to area nonprofit organizations.
Welcome back. Well, it's Veterans Day, a good time to check in on a local veteran who rose in his career to the highest ranks of the military and foreign policy establishment. Retired General James Stavridis is one of the most distinguished admirals of our time and a former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. Stavridis also has close ties and even a home here on the First Coast. This month, he's out with a new meditation on leadership, asking the question, what defines the character of a strong leader? It's the question on the minds of millions of Americans as we head toward the 2020 presidential election. He poses this question, too. In our postmodern era, are we witnessing the slow death of character? I spoke with Jim Stavridis about that and other issues as we discussed his new book, Sailing True North, 10 Admirals and the Voyage of Character. Let's listen. Admiral James Stavridis, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Melissa.
It's a pleasure to have you on and talk about your new book, Sailing True North. Of course, we have strong Navy presence in this community, and you have ties to Jacksonville as well as part of your storied career in the Navy. Tell us about them.
Well, I was born down in South Florida, but my parents moved up north, and I have had many tours in my naval career in the Mayport Basin. I'm a Navy surface warfare officer, and I commanded aircraft carrier strike group as well, and now have a home in Ponte Vedra Beach. So very, very connected. My wife, Laura, was actually born in Jacksonville, and our parents all live in Fleet Landing in Atlantic Beach. So we are Jacksonians.
Yeah. And so there will certainly be a lot of interest locally in your book. The full title is Sailing True North, 10 Admirals and the Voyage of Character. You've said before, this isn't a book about leadership so much as it is character. Why did you decide that was important to focus on in this book?
I suppose this evolved when I became the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO after I'd become a four-star admiral. I felt as though I knew a lot about leadership. You know, leadership, Melissa, is kind of like this big door that swings and you influence others. But what occurred to me was that big door of leadership swings on a small hinge, and that hinge is character. It's the human heart. It's that inner voyage. It's how you lead yourself. So I began reading a lot of different histories. And because I know the oceans, know the sea, I know the story of many admirals in history, I decided to write a book about character, about that inner voyage of resilience and humility and balance and honesty and creativity. And I picked 10 admirals across 2,500 years of history. Each of 10 chapters tells their story and pulls these lessons of character out of their lives.
It is a sweep through history, and folks will learn a lot, like, for example, where the phrase, remember the Maine, came from.
Indeed. When the battleship Maine was sunk in Havana Harbor on 15 February 1898, we were certain, we the United States were certain, that it was the work of Spanish terrorists. Mm-hmm. So we launched into the Spanish-American War. When we eventually salvaged the ship about 50 years later, we discovered USS Maine sank because of an internal boiler explosion. No terrorism, no attack, yet we had gone to war. The lesson of the Maine is, before you start a war, before you react in anger, make sure you have your facts straight.
That's a lesson that we certainly need to hold fast to today. Now, as you mentioned, you were the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, the first four-star Navy admiral to ever serve in that capacity. I want to ask you bluntly, do you have concerns about the recent actions of President Trump and his impact on the NATO alliance?
I do. And let's keep this in perspective. NATO as an organization is 70 years old. It's activated only one time. And that was when the United States was attacked, and 27 other nations, Europeans and Canadians, of course, joined in with us, came with us to Afghanistan, where that attack was launched from. The NATO alliance has stood with the United States. So when I hear the president denigrating the NATO alliance, I think it weakens us. It weakens our standing in the world. And lastly, we often criticize the Europeans for defense spending. And yet, collectively, the European defense budget is the second largest in the world. The United States is first, next is Europe as a combined budget, and after that comes China, and then comes Russia. So, yes, we'd like them to spend a little bit more. They've set a goal of 2% of GDP. They're slightly shy of that, but overall, they're the second largest defense budget in the world. They stood with us in combat. When I commanded that mission in Afghanistan, tragically, I signed 2,200 letters of condolence to families who lost servicemen. 900 of those went to European families. These are good allies, and we should not denigrate them or reduce the value of the NATO alliance.
Some retired military leaders, such as yourself, have echoed these concerns. They've been critical of the Trump administration. Many others have chosen to remain silent about some of these controversial policies out of a sense of honor, reticence. How do you see the role of the military in all of these ongoing controversies with regard to the Trump foreign policy choices?
I think it's an individual choice for retired military. And some very senior retired military, like Secretary of Defense Mattis, have said, well, I'm just not going to criticize the sitting president. Fine, that's his choice. Kind of the other end of the spectrum, retired Admiral Bill McCraven has written an op-ed and been very public saying, quote, the president is a danger to the republic, unquote. Personally, I choose to call him like I see him on matters of policy. I'm not interested in a personality conversation about the president or about anybody else, frankly. I try to focus on policy. When the Trump administration undertakes a policy that I agree with, for example, negotiating with the North Koreans as opposed to where they started with fire and fury, much better to negotiate. I will commend them. When they do something I disagree with, pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords, big mistake, I will criticize them. So for me, and I think the right role for senior military, retired, who have a lot of perspective, is to address the policies, call them like you see them, and lend your voice to the larger conversation.
And getting back to that, going beyond the current president, you chose to focus on character in this book, the importance of character. Is that something we're losing as a society, an emphasis on character?
I think we are. And I worry a great deal about that. In the book, I say we have a tendency to overshare publicly and underreflect privately, meaning that we tend to live our lives in an increasingly public, loud, outgoing way without stopping to think about what our actions mean and what does the voyage of our life really amount to. So in the book, In Sailing True North, I try to look at the series of these 10 admirals and think about what lessons can we draw from them for our lives. And I come up with inner qualities like resilience, humility, empathy, balance, creativity. These admirals in Sailing True North have those qualities, but I think in today's world, there's less and less focus on character and more of a focus on just public engagement, and we are poorer for that quality.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, and I hope many process this message. So, Admiral, we thank you for your time and staying close to Northeast Florida. The book is Sailing True North, 10 Admirals and the Voyage of Character. Admiral James Stavridis, U.S. Navy, retired. It's on shelves now. Admiral, thanks so much.
Great being on with you. Go Jaguars.
We'll talk about the Jaguars in a few minutes with our own Culpepper. But first, on this Veterans Day, we want to bring your attention to a new study out by the Union of Concerned Scientists. It affects U.S. military bases, and it has to do with climate change and the impact on military readiness. Environmental reporter Brendan Rivers has been looking at this and joins us now. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Melissa.
So this is a sobering look at how rising temperatures are going to impact military bases, including several here in Florida, right?
Yeah, that's right. So this is a new report. I haven't had too much of a chance to look at it yet, but they looked at every military installation in the U.S. and how extreme heat at those installations is going to change over the years. And it's kind of crazy to think about, like, just already last year they had 2,800 cases of heat related illness among active duty members in the U.S. military. And you might think a lot of that is from troops deployed in the Middle East, where some of the world's hottest places are. But of those thousands of cases, only 67 occurred among troops deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So right here at home in the U.S., thousands of service people are suffering from heat-related illnesses like heat exhaustion and heat stroke every year. And it's just going to get worse. They looked at all these installations. They ranked the top 10 that'll be most affected by this. And they rank it by an increase in days per year with a heat index above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And five of the top 10 are in Florida. So, for example, Homestead Air Reserve Base in Florida historically has 13 days every year with temperatures that are or feel like they're above 100. And by mid-century, it'll have 115 days. So a third of the year, temperatures above 100 degrees.
MacDill Air Force Base, Naval Air Station, Pensacola are also cited as the bases that will have the largest increase in the number of days with a heat index over 100 degrees Fahrenheit by mid-century. And so this becomes a matter of national security, addressing climate change. I'm quoting here from the report. The Union of Concerned Scientists says the best thing we can do to keep our troops and the country safe from these worsening conditions is to enact policies that encourage a rapid transition to a clean energy economy.
Yeah. And this report is just looking at heat. This is just one of the risks that's facing the military. I mean, there's so many different things. The heat can also contribute to risks for wildfire. It can lead to higher risk for drought. And then the other side of things, they have to worry about sea level rise, which is a big risk for the Navy, for installations on the coast and on the waters. I mean, it affects everything. And the military has been looking at this for years as a huge threat to national security, as you say.
They absolutely have, and they've been planning ahead to try to figure out how to mitigate some of these impacts. But of course, as the UCS report shows, without rapid decarbonization of our global economy, we're only going to be able to adapt our way so much out of this problem. Speaking of which, we want to draw your attention to our new digital magazine, AdaptFlorida.org. At AdaptFlorida.org, you can learn about efforts already underway here in Florida to address the impacts related to climate change, including some reporting you've done, Brendan, on the military in our area and how they are looking at this issue.
Yeah. So I talked to some people from the Navy, and I looked at some studies looking at the two Navy stations we have here, and actually tying that into this new report, top 10 most affected Navy bases, Naval Station Mayport is on there. It says historically they have 8 days with temperatures or the heat index above 100 degrees by mid-century. That's going to jump to 74 days. So that's right here at home. That's going to affect the thousands of people who live and work in Jacksonville who work for the Navy. So this is like some far off threat. This is here. It's going to get worse. People you know are going to be affected.
That's right. Again, it's AdaptFlorida.org for more about this. And we thank you, Brendan, as always, for spreading the word about these climate-related issues to our audience. Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Okay. In a moment, the Jaguars and Culpepper. He's up next as Nick Foles gets back on the field. We'll be right back.
VyStar Credit Union, focused on offering its members a safe and financially strong place to save their money and get the loans they need since 1952. VyStar, we never forget that it's your money. Information available at VyStarCU.org.
The Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and WJCT invite you to the 10th annual Mackenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk plus a 1 mile fun run to benefit Boys and Girls Clubs of Northeast Florida. November 23rd at TIAA Bank Field. Registration at MackenziesRun.org.
So here's a family and business challenge. Great-grandma Irma wrote what became an iconic cookbook almost 90 years ago. Your job? Update it for today.
They don't want to go into something where they know maybe it could be a chance even in the next couple of weeks here that we might have something dramatic come up again.
I'm Kai Ryssdal, Joy of Cooking, the 2019 edition. Next time on Marketplace.
This evening at 6 here on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the late comedian Gary Shandling with his friend Judd Apatow, who's edited a new book about the comic. The book includes photos, scripts, stand-up material, and journal pages that reveal the insecurities and emotional suffering that Shandling turned into comedy. Join us.
Today at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Some call it test, or just T. Testosterone, a vital chemical with a complex reputation. Many believe it's a measure of manliness, from the boardroom to the bedroom to your bench press. But a new book debunks the many myths around its role in masculinity and in antisocial behavior. A different take on testosterone. Next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Sports Wrap-Up with Cole Pepper is sponsored by Black Sheep, Orsay, and Bellwether Restaurants.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, it's the start of the Nick Foles era, part two, as the Jaguars get back to work after the bye week.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
So how's the $88 million quarterback faring on the field? Cole Pepper is on the line with some thoughts. Hey, Cole. Oh, there we go. Hey, Cole, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Yeah, 11 plays into the season, Nick Foles, the Jaguars' $88 million quarterback, broke his collarbone. So today when the Jaguars get on the practice field, Foles will be back under center with the team for the first time as the starting quarterback. He has been practicing as the scout team quarterback the last couple of weeks. This is all in preparation for Sunday's game in Indianapolis against the Colts. This is a vital part of the season, no doubt. We've heard a few things about this team for the first 9 games. A few of them include, I think, this locker room culture taking a major turn. Last year, the team started to lose games and things went from bad to worse in the locker room. But the 2019 version of the Jaguars acts more like a team with something to prove and like a group that knows they haven't accomplished anything yet. Last year, that wasn't the case. And to be honest, the trade of Jalen Ramsey has brought out this aspect of the team's personality as much as anything. Is that a coincidence? Maybe. I'm not betting on it. There are chances for the playoffs still. The Jaguars do have a shot. It will take some work. For starters, they must not lose more than one more game this year. I think it'll be at least a 10-6 record that'll be called on to make it into the playoffs. The Jaguars right now hold the best record in the AFC. 6 teams will make the playoffs, including the 4 division winners. And so let's assume for the moment that the Patriots, Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs will win their divisions. That means the Bills, Steelers, Raiders, Colts, and Titans right now are ahead of the Jaguars. Conveniently, the Jaguars will play 4 games against those 5 teams in the final 7 weeks of the season. In other words, the Jaguars can play a big role in determining their own playoff chances, and it all starts this week when they go to Indy.
Now, I got to get your reaction to something really quickly, Cole. Over the weekend, HBO Last Week Tonight host John Oliver was grabbed by Rob Riggle, as he was talking sports on TV, and they asked Oliver who he was rooting for in the NFL. Take a listen.
Are you excited for the big Giants-Jets game this weekend?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a Jaguar fan. All British people like the Jaguars.
Why?
Because you keep sending us the Jaguars. You're force-feeding us Jaguar meat.
You say Jaguar funny. I don't...
The Jaguars. So, of course, that's because Shad Khan plays those Jaguars games in London. What did you think about that? In England, they love the Jaguars.
Yeah, and listen, with apologies to those two comedians, I've been over there to England in a pretty good way over last year. There was a decent fan base for the Jaguars. I have a real concern about what it will happen if there are 2 Jaguars home games placed over there in London next year. We talked a little bit about it last week, that the impact of what that could be for the Jaguars and what kind of season ticket owner impact would have over here in Jacksonville. I don't like the idea of having only 6 home regular season games for your NFL team. But I think playing, if they play 2, a preseason game and a regular season home game, or a home game and a road game over there, great. builds the fan base, helps spread the brand a little bit. I think there have been probably several different ways that the Jaguars have been said. You remember that Gus Bradley, when he first came to Jacksonville as the head coach, called him the Jaguars with his northern accent. So, we'll see how it all plays out. It's going to be a big storyline, no doubt, over the offseason.
For sure. Okay, let's talk college football quickly. What about President Trump going to Alabama? He got a lot of cheers, but they lost at home to LSU.
Yeah, that was a huge game of the season, number one against number two. And more importantly for fans in our area, here's what it means for Georgia. Almost nothing. The good news for the Bulldogs is that they can still make the college football playoffs if they win out. Georgia plays at Auburn Saturday, then they host Texas A&M before they face Georgia Tech in a traditional rivalry game. Then it will be the SEC championship game, probably against LSU. So if they win out, including that game, Georgia will be in the college football playoff and have a chance at a national championship. If they don't win out, they're out, so at least they hold their destiny in their own hands.
Florida State had a good weekend, and the high school football playoffs continue right here in our area.
Yeah, FSU with a win in basketball over Florida and a win on Earl Higgins, the interim head coach. They beat Boston College after they got rid of Willie Taggart, the head coach. And as you mentioned, the high school football playoffs, I want to give a tip of the cap to Mark Brunell and Episcopal, who won their first ever high school football playoff game in school history on Friday night. And I can tell you, I haven't seen Brunell as excited as he was since he was with the Super Bowl winning Saints once upon a time.
How about that? Well, you can always catch Cole and Mark Brunell on the Mark Brunell Show. Catch Cole also doing regular sports updates at our news partner, News for Jax on TV. And every Monday morning here on this program, Cole calling in today because, of course, the Veterans Day Parade is surrounding our building and is going to be kicking off soon. So it's kind of hard to get over here right now. So, Cole, thanks for getting on the phone with us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Melissa.
Again, the City of Jacks Veterans Day Parade kicks off at 11. Make a note of it if you have to head downtown and come on out and see the parade. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corum directs the show. Today, Brady Corum is directing her son. He's so good, too. Our news director is Jessica Palumbo. And Bill Bortsfield is our digital editor. We always want your feedback. Send those emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for being with us. If you're listening to our rebroadcast tonight, keep listening for some great music. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.